following message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
I'm taking the last Sunday off. Come on. My son, Braden Hammonds, love him, proud of him.
As a pastor's kid, you kind of get put in the spotlight a lot. He gets to tell all the stories. He gets to talk about you, say whatever he wants. Say whatever he wants, but now I've got the mic, and I know Jason's got my back, and leave him muted. Yep. That's right. So today, you get the younger, better-looking version. I know he always tells me that one day I'm going to look like that, and we'll see. That's one of my prayers that, you know. Right? When he was asking me to do this, it is the last Sunday of 2021, and I thought back to previous years and what New Year's means and what people were typically focused on in that time. And this year, I feel like, is getting back a little bit to the normal part of New Year's. Because I think back to 2019, and in 2019, I don't know how much you remember, but all people kept saying was 2020 vision. 2020 vision, 2020, this is my year, this is going to be an incredible year, and then March comes and pandemic hits. As much as I hate it, you have to talk about it. It's played a major role in society and culture and changing just about everything of how we operate, whether, even at home. It's even changed how we operate in our own houses, which is, I was not happy with that. But as I was thinking about it, 2020, we were looking forward to New Year's, and it was good for a while, and then we had the pandemic, and it changed. I feel like going into 2021, we didn't have a normal New Year's. We didn't have what we're used to, where you can go have your party, pop your fireworks, you can make your resolutions, you can do all that. I feel like 2021, going into it, we were still in recovery mode. We were still thinking about how can we adjust to this new lifestyle we have. But I feel like right now, I think we've adjusted to about as well as we can to what is now our new normal. And going into 2022, I feel like we're back to normal New Year's. We are back to thinking ahead and looking at what are we going to do? What are the plans going to be? And the first thing that comes to mind for me when I think about New Year's and what I think comes to mind for a lot of people are resolutions. You look at your life and how it went this year, and you look ahead at what you want it to be like. And if it's not there, if it's not lined up, you decide to make resolutions to change those things. You decide that I'm going to start doing this or I'm going to stop doing this. And whether it's your thing or not, a lot of people it is. January 1st, gyms are going to be packed. Fast food places may as well close. I mean, it's for anybody that actually goes to a gym on a regular basis, I can't say we, unfortunately, but I'm sure they all hate it, and I know they do because I've got friends that are there 5 days a week. And January 1st comes, and they can't get to their machine. They can't get the right weight. Everybody puts it back in the wrong order. They only have one of the dumbbells. Where's the other one? I need both. It's a mess. But fortunately for them, give it about a week, and it'll be normal. Sometimes give it a day. January 2nd really weeds out probably about half. I mean, you wake up, that alarm goes off at 6, 7, whatever it is for you to start doing that, and then you think about it, I'm good. I'll run to my car instead of walk or something. We'll just call that done. But it's a time when people are looking ahead at what do they want to learn and what do they want to unlearn. Because for some people, it's more focused on that. It's, I need to stop doing this. I'm going to quit doing this. January 1st, that's it. Get it all out December 31st. After that, no more. By the way, it's a terrible idea if you're trying to stop doing something to go all out the night before and think that you can just go cold turkey the next day. Doesn't work. But what is the main reason why people make resolutions in the first place? There's always a reason behind it. People don't just get up and decide, I'm going to start working out and eating healthy because, sounds fun. No, it's a resolution because nobody wants to do it, so they have to force themselves to do it. That's the whole point. But the main reason that people are making these resolutions, or at least one of them, it comes down to other people's opinion and view of them. It comes down to your self-image, to what do people see? I'm going to the gym because I'm tired of having the love handles. I'm going to the gym because I'm tired of being uncomfortable taking my shirt off or whatever. There's a reason why people do it. It's not just, most of the time it's not about, oh, I just want to be healthy because it's the temple that God's given me. And I mean, some people do. But a lot of times it's about that self-image. It's about what do people see when they look at me? I want to change that. And it can also be, like I said, about unlearning. I'm tired of people seeing me as this. So no longer, January 1st, I'm not going to be that guy or that girl anymore. Well, I want to take this morning to look at some of those things and the plans that we come up with and the ideas that we have, and not just what we have, but also how we plan on executing those resolutions or those plans. It's going to go further than just your New Year's resolutions. I don't know how many people were even into that. Personally, I'm not huge on it, mainly because I think I've failed more than I've succeeded on. But I want to look past that this morning. And if you look in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as a reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. That is the reason to be making a New Year's resolution. That is the reason. I'm not going against, like, okay, if you want to get healthier, yeah, do that. If you want to quit doing that, do that. But what is the main reason behind your decision to do these things? Is it all based out of how other people see you? Or are you working as though working for the Lord and that he is your master that you are serving? What is the reason behind that goal and that decision that you have made? And the question becomes is that why do we care so much? Why do we care? And it's just culture. It's society. It's the way it is. A lot of it has to do with maybe social media. You put on your best face, your best foot forward, and anything that's not posted online is the mess. So we try, with these goals and these plans, we try to put our best foot forward, and whatever happens in my house, whatever happens behind my closed door, that's my business. But all I care about is what you see when I'm at my 9-to-5 job or when I'm at church or when I'm hanging out eating dinner with you. That's the part I care about. But the problem is that all of that stuff, all the weight that we put on other people and what they see, it can't handle that kind of weight. Because if you're constantly chasing after someone's approval, if that's the whole purpose for what you do, eventually you might get it for a while, but you could lose it like that. Those people in your life, those things in your life cannot handle the weight of being your God. It cannot take the weight because we are flawed, we are broken. Myself, everybody in this room, we cannot handle the weight of being our own God or somebody else's God. And as I was driving back into Angleton on Thursday, and I posted some of this online. Some of you may have seen that, but for those that didn't, you're going to get round two of that. But as I was driving home, it was right around sunset, and I'm not typically the guy that notices the little things. I'm kind of a glass half empty. I call myself a realist, but I'm kind of a pessimist at times, and it's something I have to fight against because I like facts, not feelings. So I'm not going to look at a situation and be optimistic if the facts say otherwise. I blame him for that. I'm not going to look at that and feel, if the facts aren't saying good, then I'm not good. So I typically don't notice the little things. I don't notice the beauty in creation as often as I wish I would. But as I was driving on Thursday, man, it was just gorgeous. It was gorgeous. The sun was coming down. It was the perfect, like, right amount of clouds. I was driving right towards it, so I just got to stare at it forever. And as I was looking at that and how beautiful that is, God started laying something on my heart. When you see that picture, when you see the sunset and you see what it looks like, you're not focused on all the individual pieces the whole time. You're not focused on each individual cloud in its particular shape. You notice a couple. I'm not saying you don't notice it, but it's the whole picture together that is beautiful. That one cloud, I mean, it's okay, but put it together with everything else and the lighting where it's at, and now it is something amazing and beautiful that has to have a designer, something that is so incredible that it's not just going to happen in a random explosion. And so I was having a moment looking at that, and God started laying on my heart, just looking at all the different clouds, that part in particular. You have all these different types, shapes, sizes, and he was speaking to me with, we a lot of times look at ourselves, this goes back to that self-image, we look at ourselves and some people can be a little haughty at times, but I would say in general, we're our own worst critics. So we look and we might see ourselves as this small little cloud, and then we're looking at this giant one next to us. And we feel like that I am this insignificant, unimportant, invisible little piece. No one sees what I do. No one sees who I am. Nobody cares. So I'm going to try to change that. I'm going to do things in my life to change that. I'm going to get into this. I'm going to learn a new hobby. I'm going to stop doing this so that people will finally see me, so that people will finally give me that approval that I've been so desperate for this whole time. But the problem is that when you look at that, you are not created to be that person next to you. You are not created to be that person next to you. We get so stuck in that because we see this massive cloud next to us, and we say, everybody knows who he is. Everybody sees what he does. Everybody cares. Everybody talks to him. He's at every party. He's doing this. I don't have that type of, people just don't see me that way. I'm this little, insignificant, invisible person in this world. But I'm here to tell you that you are not created to be that other person. And if you were missing, no matter your role, no matter, okay, maybe you are a smaller piece on paper, logistically. That's also my facts brain coming out. If you, maybe you don't do as much as this other person, but I'm telling you, whatever you do, do. However God created you, if you were missing from that picture, it would be noticeable. If you were missing from that picture, it would be noticeable because each one of us, no matter how big, no matter how small, we come together to form this beautiful picture of creation. We come together to form this beautiful, just, man, it's just God's handiwork. And every piece of that is important, no matter your role, no matter how you feel about it. And when we have those moments where we don't like what we see in the mirror, or we don't like what other people say about us. Colossians 3, remember that the Lord will give you your inheritance as a reward. He is your master. Work as if you were serving him. Like I said, people fail. They can't handle the weight. They can't do it, but there's a God that can. And if we will just take a step back and realize that picture that we're seeing, that every piece, every person, every spot, every role is valuable. The hand cannot live without the foot. It's in Scripture. We all have different gifts, talents. You are not created to be the person next to you. You know, maybe you fall into a different category. Maybe you fall into another category rather than getting caught up in what other people think and what other people say, and being so focused on that, maybe you are doing your best to follow God. But what I want to talk about this morning is how you're doing that. Maybe God has given you a plan. He's given you a goal, something to do, and you're trying. Maybe your approach is just a little bit off. So my question is, if you are following, are you trusting him fully with each step? It's not in my notes, but I believe it's in Psalms. But the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. It's steps, plural. It's not about the one, okay, you're going to go do this, and then God says, okay, you're on your own. It's not the way it works. But a lot of times what happens is we get that word from God, we get that direction, and then we say, okay, God, I know where I'm headed. I've got it from here. Okay, if I told you to go to a specific restaurant in Lake Jackson blindly with no GPS, no roads to guide you, do you know where it's at? Yes. You know where you're headed. You've been there. Are you going to get there? No. If I told you to go there blindly, you may have been there 100 times. You're not going to get there. But the problem is we take that mindset of, I understand that. And therefore, I understand that so I can do it on my own. It's not intentional. It's not intentional. It's really hard to catch, because when you're in the church and when you're serving, when you're chasing after God, you get so, sometimes it's out of passion. You get so fired up that the moment you think you know where you're going, you just go. But the thing with God is he's not a point A, point B type of God. He's not the type of God that's just going to say, go here and do this and then leave you to it. But God is, I've seen an illustration where they took a whiteboard and they two dots and said, we like to go from here to here. God's going to take you here, little U-turn here, go around the other side of the board. There's stuff along the way that God wants you to accomplish and things that he wants you to do. And if you just take your own mindset and your own understanding to do it, to get there, you are not, even if you get there, let's go that way. Even if you do get there, I guarantee you, if you're not trusting him with every step, you miss something along the way. 100% guarantee. It's not scripture, but I'm saying it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, we're talking about this walk. You've heard the verse many times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. The first two lines of that verse are used interchangeably a lot, and I think that does an injustice to it. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. We take that as meaning the same thing. I'm going to trust him because I'm not depending on my own understanding. But I think you can take that verse and it goes along with, I'm trusting God, I have a goal, and I'm not going to depend on my own understanding to get to that goal. I'm not going to take my mindset. I'm not going to use Braden's brain to figure out how to get there because I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to mess it up. Like I said, I'm trying to go further than New Year's resolutions because we all come up with our plans, but I want you to look past that this morning. I want you to look past that and see what it is God actually wants you to do, and then after that, how? After that, how does he want you to do it? What are the steps along the way that you need to catch? Like I said, if you go on your own, you're not going to get there. You're going to mess it up. That's just because we're broken. We're not perfect, and that's fine. We have a perfect God who makes us full, who makes us whole again. That's the whole purpose. Someone in Scripture that, in my opinion, took what God said and did his own method with it. If you look at Gideon, it's not going to be on the screen. I'm just going to paraphrase it. It's a lot of Scripture. But if you take Gideon, God speaks to Gideon and says, you're going to be the one to defeat the Midianites. They're being oppressed by them. He says, you're going to be the one to go defeat them. You're going to free your people from that. You're going to lead the charge. I'm going to work with you and through you. But, and I will say this, the way he even questioned it, I think that's why I relate to Gideon, because God tells him to do it, and he says, okay, if you're actually you, if you're actually serious, if I'm hearing you correctly, I'm going to lay this fleece out on the ground. And when I wake up in the morning, I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. God does it. Then he wakes up and says, okay, not quite. For those who have seen Spider-Man, it's not enough. Just for the few people who have seen that one, it's not enough. And so he says, do it the other way around. Fleece wet, ground dry, and he does it. And after all that, once he finally gets committed, once he finally understands, okay, this is actually what God wants me to do, Gideon takes his own mindset and his own understanding to tackle the problem. He gets the word, and he says, God, I've got this. Now, fortunately, he is listening to God throughout the story. We'll get to that. But initially, right off the bat, I know how to win a war. I know how to do it. He starts gathering his men. When he thinks about that, we've got to go fight. So we're going to need soldiers. We're going to need weapons, medical, food. We're going to need all these supplies. We're going to make it happen. Gather everyone you can. And when he completes his first steps, when he gets his army, he starts with 32,000 men against 135,000, which is already 4-1. The odds are not great. I would not like 4-1 odds going into a battle. It just doesn't look great. But in Gideon, that's the best he could muster up. That's the best he could come up with to accomplish the goal that God set before him. That was his best, but then God comes in and shows Gideon his best. After a couple different tests, I'm not going to go through them all, but God weeds out his army from 32,000 to 300 against the same 135,000. The odds are now over 400 to 1. I'm not even going to fight with those kind of odds. I'm just, yeah, all right, y'all got us. We're going to stay under your control. That 400 to 1, that's, no, that's not happening. But in the end, God leads Gideon. They don't even have to fight. They break some pots, yell, cheer, shout, and the Midianites take care of themselves. In the confusion, all they just fight each other. So God takes Gideon's approach. He says, let me show you how I actually want to do it. Unfortunately, Gideon was listening. What if Gideon hadn't been listening? What if he took God's plan and said, I'm going to take care of it from here, and then he just went and fought 32,000 against 135? The story would have gone very differently. But fortunately, he is listening. He is seeking God, not just for the plan, but also for the how. He's trusting with his heart, but also not leaning on his own understanding, believing that his path will be made straight if he can just trust him. And I think that's where we mess it up, especially within the church. Like I said, we're passionate. We get on fire. We're going to do this. We're going to make it happen. And this makes sense in my head. I'm the biggest culprit of that. I'm analytical. I come up with the plan. I'm going to do the plan. But that's not the way that God intended it to go. Because God's ways, his mind, his ways are higher than yours. The way he sees things is outside of time in a way that you won't ever be able to comprehend. He's going to see the beginning, the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's seen so much more and thinking in such a higher capacity than we can ever understand. But a lot of times we still kind of, like he said, square up. You know, you're talking about tithe, but I just had this thought of we're squaring up to God's plan. Like, nah, I got this. I know how I'm going to do this. But we do. It's not that direct. It's not like, no, God, you're, I almost feel weird saying it, but it's not like, God, your plan's dumb, not going to do it. We don't do that. I don't think any Christian would just starts praying and say, hey, your plan is kind of terrible. We're gonna go this way instead. That's not usually how it goes, but you just think, I'm seeking God, I'm gonna make this happen. He called me to do this, I'm going to do it. But we don't listen for the adjustments. We don't listen for the detours. We're heading to point B, but we're not listening for when God says, I want you to pull over right here because there's someone that needs to meet me. We get so caught up that we don't want to stop here because there's someone that's been drifting away and they just need a reminder that I'm still here speaking to them. There's someone here that needs healing and God wants to heal them through you, not through your power, but through his. But if we're not listening, we're going to miss that entirely. So as you're looking at this year, as you're getting to January 1st, 2022, which I am not prepared for. I don't know if you've already made your plans. I don't know if you've already thought through what you want to happen. But today, I want you to take a step back. And I want you to look at what God actually might want you to do instead. And if he has given you the word, I want you to ask him how he wants it done. Don't just pray for the answer, but pray for the path to the answer. Don't just pray about the end result. It's not so much about the end result, especially in our walk with God. It's not about that. The end result is heaven, and that's amazing. The journey is where we get to minister to people. The journey is where we get to be a part of God's creation and his kingdom and where we get to bring people alongside of us. It's the journey, not the destination, and we get too focused on that. This morning, what I want to do, we're not gonna do an altar where people come to pray over you, but what I do want to do is if either one of these things resonate, if you are just doing your own thing because you're so concerned with the value that other people have placed on you, if you're doing your own thing because you just want to look a certain way, if your plans are just centered around you, I want to give you an opportunity. And if your plans are more like, if you're more like getting this case where you're trying, you're seeking as best you can, but you're using your own understanding, you can't understand why you keep running into a wall and you keep running into a door, because in your head it makes sense. It's more scripture. There are ways that seem right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There's plenty of scripture talking about how if we rely on our own minds, we're going to constantly run into a wall. We're going to constantly run into a door that's closed, and then we're going to turn, point our finger at God and say, hey, why isn't this open? You told me to go there. I'm trying to go there. Why is this door shut? And he's trying to speak to you. And he's trying to tell you that that's not the right door. It might lead to the same place, but that's not what I'm calling you to do. I need you to go over here first. We just come up with our own idea. I've been there. And you get so frustrated that it's not working. You get so frustrated, and it's usually with God too, if it gets to a point. It's like, God, you told me this, and it's not happening. I've had the same stuff, been that same struggle I've had going on with God for now 5 years. But the way that I see other people, the way I see their life going, we're not created to be like the person next to us. We're not created to do the same thing. I lead worship. I'm not created to lead worship the same way she does. We do the same thing, but God has called us to do it in different ways. He's called us to use a gift that is unique to you, a talent that is unique to you. And if we get so caught up with the people around us and so caught up with comparison is a thief of joy. The moment you start looking at everybody else and why is my life not like that, it's not supposed to be like that. So stop centering your plans around what other people are doing and start centering your plans around the God who wants to give them to you. Because all you're going to do is run in circles, run into that wall, and you're going to get mad, you're going to get frustrated, and a lot of people, man, I got names coming to mind right now that are not following God at all, and they were on fire right alongside me. Because they did their own thing. Then they got mad and wondered why it didn't work. And why it didn't work like our other mutual friend. They went and did the exact same thing. One got mad, is not really going to church anymore. The other one is a pastor married with a kid, following God with everything he's got. You look at the other person, why didn't it go that way? Because you're trying to do it like them. It didn't work because you're not doing it the way I designed it to go. It didn't work because you're not trusting the individual steps. You're just looking ahead at what the goal is, and you think you can get there on your own. You've turned off your GPS. Don't you go and stand this morning. Here's what we're going to do. If either one of these things are resonating with you, I want to invite you this morning to come up to the front. It's not to get prayed over. We've been singing about this morning, your way is better. Here's where I lay it down. Whatever it is, whatever plan, as you're looking ahead to 2022, whatever that plan is, need to get it checked first. Need to check it with God first. And so what I want to do is, if either one resonate, I want, as a symbolic way of giving it back to him, I want you to come up to the front. And if God says, yes, that is what I want, you can pick it back up and take it. That's amazing. But most of the time, we tend to mess it up and God has to make some adjustments. Maybe we're not even at all on the right track and you just have to leave that whole idea and he's got a whole brand new plan for you today. I'm going to invite you to come up right now at this point. If either one of these, again, this is not to get prayed over. This is you coming up and symbolically laying it down and letting God direct not just the path, not just the destination, but both where you're going and how you're going to get there. So if either one of those, I want you to come up to the front now. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing. But rather than just coming up and worshiping and singing, that's good. But I'm guilty of this too. We use worship as a way to avoid the thing we need to be praying about. we come up and we worship because we don't really want to pray about that just yet. So I don't want you to come up here and just sing. I want you to come up here and I want you to seek. You can worship, but your prayer is worship. You coming up and laying things at the feet of God is worship. Worship is not restricted to you singing and raising your hands. It's so much deeper. The worship is how you live your life. So when we play, when she sings, that's not the purpose, just to come up and sing. I want you to take your thoughts, your plans, what you've thought about, and ask God, is this actually what you have for me? Or am I doing it wrong? If you're in the first category and your plans aren't from God at all, you already know. And there's no shame in that. I've been there. That's why when you come up here, nobody knows which one you're coming up here for. I've been in both situations. We're going to take some time. And I just want you to pray first. I want you to seek first. And then we can worship. I pray of you right now. Father God, we come before you today. God, we thank you for who you are and for what you're doing, God, what you've already done. God, as we look ahead to this new year, Jesus, God, I pray that we'd be attentive to you and not just to where you want us to go, but God, help us to be attentive to the steps to get there. Help us to be prayerful about the how, God, not just the where. Help us to be listening for those adjustments, God, so that we don't miss the things that you're setting up, God. So that we don't miss that divine encounter and appointment that you have set up with this person, God. Let us follow you, God. Every single step, Jesus. For those that are stuck in this rut, God, this cycle of comparison and trying to make changes based off of the people around them, God, trying to make changes based off of the way it went for this person, God. Work willingly as those working for the Lord, Father. I pray that first, God, that we would be serving you, God, that if we can just serve you all these things, God, if we will love you with all that we have, everything else begins to line up, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.